Good morning, everyone. I'm Jim Dewey in for Mary Griffith on The Mary Griffith Show, as she will be back Tuesday. And this morning, a couple of guests. The first one, Dr. Gerald Grubel. He is the president, CEO of WQEC, Quincy's public radio, on and or public TV, sorry, and PBS, of course. And Jerry, we definitely need to talk about some changes in programming here, and the reason there are changes in programming is because of money.
It all comes down to money, doesn't it, Jim? We're in dire straits. We've had our ups and downs through our 30, going on 31 years of broadcasting, but we've really been hit with a tsunami of the budget impasse at the state, along with the loss of some donors, some key donors. And so we got to make it up. We need the community to step forward and help us raise the missing dollars. I think there was a big article in the Quincy Herald Whig that showed we were $276,800 short. That's not a wish list. That's not a goal. That is an absolute need by June 30th. Or we're going to have to either reduce hours further, or I hope we don't get to the point that we have to flip the switch.
Yeah.
I'm worried.
Yeah, and you know, it is public TV, which means it requires the public to support it. Yes, there is a little bit of money. As you mentioned, the state budget impasse, which is affecting everybody in Illinois.
Yes.
In more ways than one. But that's not your biggest funder, right? I mean, your biggest funder is the people that watch.
Well, we are viewer-supported public television. Yeah, that's correct. And our viewers have been good to us by and large, but I know our viewers can do better. I know there's a number of people out there who have enjoyed the excellent programs on our station and on the honor system have not contributed. And there are others who have made a contribution, but know they can make a larger contribution. There are others whose membership may have expired or is about to expire. This is the time to renew, and of course anyone that would like to have a major gift for the first time to the station would be certainly welcome. But we are down $276,800. That is a need. That keeps the lights on, paying all the utility bills. We have about $72,000 just through July to pay. We have about $50,000 in non-employee insurance, insuring all of the equipment that we have.
Sure.
$30,000 of which needs to be paid by June 30th, or the insurance company's not going to renew for our next fiscal year, July 1. We don't want to do that. Got programming to pay for. It goes on and on.
Yeah.
So they're real dollars.
Yeah, let's take a look at some of that programming. Already you've cut back. I mean, you cut back a couple of years ago to where you're not running the overnight programming. Now you're cutting back, not even going on the air now until 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we are running the overnight programming, but it's only you could only get it on the cable companies that have a direct cable head-end feed to our signal, and that's Comcast,
right,
and Adams Telecom. And that is a way that we can reduce the amount of engineering support, master control room folks, and some other contractual people related to that. It also saves utility bills from our transmitters. So instead of signing on at 6:30, where everybody can get us, whether you're off the air, and there's a lot of rural people off the
sure
air getting us,
or on satellite,
they're not getting us right now. And so instead of signing on at 6:30, it's at 10 o'clock, but that reduces a whole half a shift for 7 days a week for different folks. And You know, we may have to go to 12. We're going to see how fast the money comes in. Right now, we're at about the $36,000 mark. We're approaching $40,000. We had a successful golf scramble last night, yesterday, I should say, and we haven't done all the totals in terms mm-hmm. of the revenues against the expenses of putting on that event. It was at the Rail. We had a number of Quincy foursomes, including our former mayor was there, Chuck Schultz, and Jim Bromer and some of his staff from Adams Telecom and Adams Fiber were there, and a number of others. Merle Roth was a single that got put into a foursome, and we had people from Macomb. Steve Hopper organized a foursome. We had, I think, four or five foursomes from Jacksonville. It was a real regional event to raise money for paying for children's programming on public right. television, which ironically is what's getting hurt the worst right now as we sign on later, where for many people with less and less of our 19 series of children's programs.
Right. And that's another thing I want to talk about, some of the programs that we have already lost, so to speak, with, as you mentioned, the children's program, especially the early morning programs that the very young children get
yeah.
involved in.
Curious George, Sesame Street, Nature's Cat, which is the new one this year. I mean, these are the ones that are lost to the rural people who are not on Comcast cable or on satellite. And, boy, we hope to bring it back. I mean, we get that $276,800. Yeah. We're back into our regular schedule, and we'll all be the happier for it. I've been fighting for Western Illinois and especially the rural people to have the same access to this treasure of public television programs that so many cities, larger communities throughout the area have had. But I can't do it without the community, without right. the people in the region. And if everybody would step forth, you know, I almost want to sound like one of the socialist candidates running for president right now. I mean, if you can't afford that $100, $250, $500,000, well, maybe you can afford $25 or $50 and send it in, even if it's a one-time-only gift to get us back to where
yeah.
we need to be.
And can people do, like, monthly, like, you know, they might have extra $10 a month?
Yes,
can they do
something,
and it's just like automatically withdrawn?
Jim, that's a great question. In fact, that's how we have increased our average gift. Our average gift right now from our viewers is $103. And part of how it's done is we have a growing number of what's called sustaining members.
Mm-hmm.
They pledge every month, and usually it's taken out of their credit card. It doesn't have to be, but they pledge every month. So $10 a month is very doable for a lot of people. $120 all at once isn't.
Right.
And so, you know, we get $120 from those sustaining members where we probably would have gotten maybe $35 if we didn't have this mm-hmm. program and they had to, you know, pledge all at once.
So there's...
Yes.
Different ways to participate. You had a golf tournament. You do other events too throughout the year.
Yes, and we've got a number coming up. We're going to have a pledge drive starting June 2nd, which is in two
couple
Thursdays.
Of weeks. Yeah.
And we'll go June 2nd through June 12th. It will include on June 9th a stacked pledge night of Illinois Stories, our signature local series. And I got to tell you, we broke a record. We do this every 3 months, and we broke a record in March when we pledged. We had two folks that made challenges totaling $6,000 We had to raise $6,000 from five Illinois stories that we ran, that we stacked one on top of the other. Wonderful experience. We actually raised $9,000 to match it. So we made $15,000 in total. And, boy, if we could do that again. So we're looking for those who will make challenges. And we're looking for people to stay at home long enough on June 9th to call in their pledge of support.
All right. And Illinois Stories, that is your own production. Your
That's
own
right.
as in WQEC production.
That's correct. And that's the beauty of our station. Communities this size, the communities the size of Quincy and Macomb and all of Western Illinois do not generally have a local public television service. We've produced over 250 Illinois stories from the Quincy area alone through the years. So this is a unique service. We've offered a GED series at one time for adults left behind and worked with the community college. This is years ago. We before the online courses, we used the technology in existence and had interactive television courses where
I remember
where professors from Bradley would do continuing engineering education for people at Gardner Denver and BE and Harris Corporation and so on and so forth. We go with the technology. Right now we concentrate a little more on literacy initiatives for pre-K through sixth grade kids, teaching them not only to read, but a love for reading. Because if you develop a love for reading, you're going to want to read. And I'm watching that with my four grandchildren who,
the key
is to get them to like reading.
Sure.
And once they do that, then they want to learn. They're asking questions.
We, when we stumble across it, we'll sit and watch Reading Rainbow. We think, my wife and I think LeVar Burton has best job in the world with that show. And
he did.
And these are some of the shows that, frankly, if you go under, they'll be gone.
Well, they'll be gone. And, I've checked with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, who has a series of rules for those of us affiliated with PBS. And if we, to save money, for example, in the summer, were to go off the air for any one full day, I mean, I thought about doing it in June and July when TV viewing is the least, weather is warm, kids are out, so on and so forth. If we go off for one full day, we lose our eligibility for our community service grants for next year from CPB, and that totals over $600,000. So we can't do that. Our hands are tied. We can reduce our hours, but only to the point that we have to be on a minimum of 58.5 hours for the week. That's about a 7.5-hour day. Well, we haven't gone that far yet, and I don't think we intend to go that far. But we have reduced our hours significantly already.
All right. Running out of time here. We've got a couple of minutes. Let's talk about other ways people can contribute. Of course, people are familiar with the pledge drive, and you said you've got one coming up here in a couple of weeks. But if somebody just listening right now would like to make a contribution, what can they do?
Well, they can do it two ways and very easily. You could go to our website, www.networkknowledge. It's two words, but make it one word, networkknowledge.tv. www.networkknowledge.tv. You will see on the homepage a place where you can make a pledge. It's a secure pledge page, pledge site. You could pledge up to $5,000. You could pledge with a credit card. You could pledge whatever your pocketbook could afford. That's a very easy way. You can also dial an 800 number, 232-3605. If you ask for extension 224, it's our membership coordinator, Kayla. You could also go to 222, and we have the who's affectionately known, my assistant, as MJ. Either one of them can take your pledge and would be very happy to do so, and it would help. You could also mail in a pledge to Post Office Box 3303, that's 62305 here in Quincy. And in any of those three ways, they work. And and that would help us greatly.
And again, if $10 a month is what you can afford, great.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Grubel. Appreciate all you do for the public television. The wonderful thing to have, and hopefully we'll keep it going.
Well, thank you, Jim. I really appreciate you letting me on.
My pleasure. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Jim Dewey here in for Mary Griffith on The Mary Griffith Show. And we have cloudy skies, some scattered rain showers in the area, 67 degrees. And right now, my guest is Michelle Wilkerson. She is the owner of Grown and Gathered. And I'm going to let her tell you what that means.
Grown and Gathered is a grocery store that focuses on prioritizing local foods. So we have local produce, eggs, honey, meats, jams and jellies. We have soaps, etc., all made with local produce and everything from the local producers. We primarily focus on a range about 50 miles from the Quincy area, and in year one, we've purchased over $28,000 of local foods.
Yeah, locally grown is a concept that's been around forever, of course, but it's something that people are tending to focus on, it seems, more these days.
They find it has a lot more flavor, so their taste buds are telling them that local tastes better, but then also the nutrients, because the food isn't sitting on a truck for 10 days, 2 weeks
right.
at a time, so there's a lot more nutrients in local food as well.
And it's also something USDA has been focusing on more. I know that, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago. You had applied for a USDA grant. Of course, you won't find out for several months yet. But that grant's going to help you with what you're calling a community kitchen.
Yeah, so the hopes is to build the community kitchen space at 601 Main Street in Quincy. And that kitchen would offer up producers a certified kitchen space to create shelf life, create season extension, and the potential revenue that's behind all of that as well.
So shelf life extension, that, of course, you think about fresh foods, they don't last maybe as long as sometimes we want them to. But this, you're saying, will give those growers an opportunity to extend that. How would that work?
So we would offer up the canning classes, how-tos, cooking classes, what they could make. So if they have a lot of tomatoes, perhaps, if they could create a shelf life with pasta sauce or tomatoes for ketchup or salsa, cucumbers for pickles, you could can or freeze your spinach or your kale so that you can have that throughout the winter months as well. So working on food preservation.
Okay. So really it gives kind of an entrepreneurship opportunity for some folks to maybe have a recipe that they've handed down for generations. They've got something that, you know, grandma used to use.
Absolutely.
To preserve or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So even the local egg guy would use local flour and create local egg noodles. And, you know, that's something that's not currently available. There's not a space currently available. However, this we're seeing the community kitchens nationwide. And they're finding that they help create the close the gap between the producer and the consumer as it creates more access points to buy local food.
All right, so keeping food local and keeping local food year round, which is obviously a concern. I mean, we have farmers markets both in Quincy and Hannibal, but they're open from about now until maybe mid-October.
And usually just one day a week for
right.
a few hours. And if you're gone on a family vacation or at a family wedding or somewhere, then it really, you miss your chance to help support the producer. So Grown and Gathered's open 7 days a week and allows at your convenience to shop when it's good for you.
With that available, are you hearing from some people saying, you know, if I had a way, I would love to grow more?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Some of the great success stories out of Grown and Gathered is, I mentioned the local egg guy. He went and bought another 50 hens to he couldn't keep up with the egg demand. One of my other producers that produces kale went and bought, received a grant, actually, to put in another high tunnel because she couldn't keep up with the growing demand on that as well. The local pork guy, he's turned in his numbers that he's actually increased his revenue by 18% since Grown and Gathered's opened. So it's made an impact on the local economy, and so that's what we want to keep nurturing and growing. You know, no pun intended, but just continue to nurture and foster that local foods movement.
Well, and one of the other things that the USDA has been focusing on more in the last couple of years is called a food desert. Now, the first time that I heard the term and read about it, they were focusing on places like in Chicago or other big cities where, yeah, you might have a convenience store.
Sure.
You might have maybe a little bitty grocery store, but the availability of fresh fruits and vegetables, it's just not there without traveling somewhere. And you mentioned that really in this area we have what are considered food deserts.
We are located in a 50-mile radius of Quincy. There are 20 census tracts that are considered a food desert. Largely the northern half of Adams County, the northeast Missouri corner, down in Pike County. I mean, they've linked the food deserts to actually a higher rate of obesity and chronic illness and disease because they don't have access to fresh local foods. And to travel more than 10 miles to a grocery store every day, it gets taxing on the schedule, and not everybody has time for that. So therefore they resort to processed foods, what's convenient, fast foods, et cetera.
That don't
have the nutrients riches to be behind them.
Yeah. So is that something you're working to combat as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what you mentioned,
Well, it's to help bridge that gap between producers and consumers in food deserts. So that community kitchen and the grant that I applied for actually prioritizes areas that bridge that gap and have and service food deserts. And so we're looking at a 50-mile radius, and if our entrepreneurs come in, our producers come in from, say, Pike County, they can then utilize the kitchen, take it back down to the local stores in Pike County, and then start to distribute their food from a certified kitchen point, which is the start of everything. But putting in that kitchen space is expensive for one producer to do. And it really doesn't make sense on an individual level, but if you make it so that it's accessible to all the producers, that's where the benefits start to roll out into the food deserts.
Right. And it hasn't really been that long ago in history. Might have been before your time, but certainly during my lifetime, every town had a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a town of 3,000. We had at least two.
Yeah. Same with me. I grew up in Mount Sterling, smaller than that, and we had two grocery stores as well. So now there's one. But even in Adams County, and this shocks people, the only grocery store outside of Quincy in Adams County is in Camp Point.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about how large that radius is, even just in Adams County, and all the communities in the northern half of Adams County, and they don't have access to the fresh local foods that we do in Quincy. And, you know, you could drive for another half hour and still be in northern Adams County.
From what I've seen, and I could be wrong because I haven't seen them all, but I think you could drive from Taylor to Kirksville and not drive by a grocery store.
Yep, absolutely. And even if you do, it's a convenience store where they certainly have food available, but it's processed.
And they might have some bananas and apples.
Exactly right.
But
not,
not
the greens, not the spinach, not the kale, not the variety that's actually offered on a local scale. And you know, it's difficult for those farmers to really hone in on each account and then spend time out of the field delivering to these places.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really hoping the future vision is be the food hub and distribute out to these local places to really get the food into the consumer's hands where it needs to be anyway.
Right. And as we mentioned earlier, having more available means more people are going to start noticing and maybe increase the demand so that the growers will go out and grow more, and it hopefully will expand and expand and expand.
Yeah, and it keeps the dollars local. I mean, everybody's like, what's local? What's that got for me? And I'm saying it keeps your taxes down because They say that a dollar spent locally circulates 3 to 4 times before actually leaving the area. So when you think about that, that's called sticky money, and so that it circulates that many times. So if you're buying your food, and even if it's a $2 bag of spinach, that $2 stays here rather than going out through a big box store to the corporate office and out of state somewhere else. So it really makes a difference on the local economy.
Right. And more also, again, as the farm director, I read these things, more and more people are doing year-round growing with the hoop house that you mentioned or greenhouses. I toured a greenhouse up in Kankakee County last week. It has 8 acres under a roof.
Oh, my
goodness.
It's
amazing.
That is amazing.
And of course, they've got more than just food, but they've got all of the vegetables and things that grow in that area, in the Chicagoland area. But, yeah, and, again, it's demand. Demand is growing because they were there in the first place. More people hear about it. More people want.
Absolutely. And it works just like that. It's seemingly so simple in theory that you let the consumers consume, you let the growers grow, and then you let these stores distribute like they should. And, you talk to most of the farmers at the farmers market, they'd rather be out in the fields. They want to be where they enjoy being and not up at 5 a.m. on their Saturdays from May through October. And while it's a great way to get to know the farmer, there's other ways in which to do that as well. Anyone would be really happy to show you a tour of what they do every day.
Sure.
They're very proud of what they do. It's the nitty-gritty work of the day, really into the dirt, and growing that food is not easy for any of the farmers. You depend largely on the weather, and so that makes it even a little bit more risky in trying to develop out a plot that's sustainable for a family to make their money off of.
And getting to know the farmers is a good idea as well, because farmers sometimes get a bad rap.
Totally.
And undeservedly so, regardless of the product that they're producing, whether it would be something for the farmer's market or maybe on the bigger scale where they're growing livestock feed or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to know the farmer, how they produce, why they do it the way they do, is a good idea.
They love to talk about it, too. It is just so great to see their passion come forward when you ask them, how do you grow? Like, what's in your soil? And to see at the depth and the detail that they really start to come alive at that point. And not just, what do you grow? Because, they'll talk about that too. But
sure.
There's a real science behind it, and there's a real passion level behind that as well.
Well, sure. And if you've got a little spot that you think you might want to plant a garden, talk to the people at the farmer's market, see how what they did to make that particular product grow, and maybe next year you can bring your green beans.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is small plot farming. At Grown and Gathered, we actually planted a little greenhouse in front of the planter box, the city planter box that sits out on the street corners. We put a little greenhouse, and we grew our spinach and our radish and our kale in April, and it worked, and we ate it. It was delicious. And so there's no spot too small is basically the statement I was making by that little greenhouse. And you can start small. You can start with just even a pot and grow your own tomato plant and see where that gets you. Some people really love it. Some people really just love to buy it. And that's
and that's good, too.
And that's good, too.
That's good
so
too.
There's a place for everyone in the local food movement. And whether you like honey or eggs or just greens or the meats as well. So there's a little bit of everything. And it's growing. The awareness is growing, and then they're understanding now the product variety, that these farmers are getting creative with what they grow and then what they do with it beyond that.
Right, and hopefully this fall you will find out that you have been awarded a grant from the USDA for the local food promotion program that they have, and we'll have this community kitchen. Who is going to be using that kitchen?
We build it for the producers, and the producers is a very general term because it could be local food entrepreneurs. It could just be entrepreneurs that want to start a catering business utilizing local foods. It could be, you really loved your grandma's pasta sauce, and now you want to share that out with everyone, but you don't know how to can it safely so that you don't poison everybody that has it. There's always that fear to it as well. And so getting to that spot where food safety is of concern, so, you know, the kitchen will be utilized by those who are concerned about food safety, keeping it safe, while even at the farmers markets, the local producers, it'll be a place of gathering for all of those passionate about food.
All right. My father-in-law was a horticulturist, and he had huge tomato plants and strawberries and beans and corn, and my mother-in-law would spend quite a bit of time making ketchup and tomato sauce and so forth. So, folks, if you have a taste for that, and who doesn't, find out more about Grown and Gathered. Where are you?
Currently, we're at 729 Hampshire Street. We will be there until, we're hoping, at the end of July, beginning of August, we'll make the move over to 601 Main Street here in Quincy. So working on the expansion, even today, working on that building and trying to get that up and going.
And you have a website?
Website's Grown and Gathered. We're on social media, Facebook. We're very active on Facebook under Grown and Gathered. And our store number is 217-228-4075.
All right. So, folks, check it out. Grown and Gathered. That's Grown, the letter N, Gathered. And Michelle Wilkerson is the owner. And we appreciate you coming by, and good
Thanks
luck.
For having me. Thank you. Yeah. I'll keep you guys updated.
We appreciate that, too.